My name is Meredith Howell. I'm the regional director for visually impaired preschool services here in Indiana. My daughter Lola is now 10 years old, but back in 2012, we had moved to Indianapolis. We were living abroad for a bit, my husband and I, and we moved to Indianapolis and we were trying to find vision services for our daughter Lola, who has cortical visual impairment. The leading cause of visual impairments in children today, one of the few that can be actually improved with early intervention. And I knew time was of the essence because she was just a year old when we first moved back to Indianapolis. And so I started to look for services and I found, wonderful physical therapists and occupational therapists and but when it came to her vision, we couldn't find anyone that could help us with understand her visual impairment and how it is impacting her learning and her development. And so we, through I looked on the internet, I looked, went to the School for the Blind. At that time, they didn't have early intervention, and they said, I was to come back when she was. That they could serve her when she was three, but I had, 2 more years of that brain development that was happening. And so I finally found this woman named Annie Hughes, who had retired from the School for the Blind. And she apparently had was working for an organization named VIPS. And she, I will never forget, in April of 2012, we were feeling pretty, I don't want to, it was just pretty isolating. My daughter has an ultra rare genetic disease that she has, in addition to the cortical visual impairment, she has epilepsy and autism and OCD and anxiety, and the list goes on and on and on. But she's amazing. She's one in, she was one of the first 20 in the world that was ever diagnosed with this disease. And she's just gone on to prove the doctors all wrong, that she is setting the course for what this looks like. But we were at a low point in the journey because I knew vision was impacting everything and I didn't know how to reach Lola. It was like she was right there, but I couldn't reach her. And so Annie came in at a Tuesday afternoon and she's came in with her ukulele and she sat down on the floor and she started singing her signature hello song. And in that moment, I just knew that we were, going to be in good hands. She talked more about my daughter's visual impairment in that 2 hours than I had learned in the first year of Lola's life. She taught me why Lola wasn't making eye contact with me. It wasn't because Lola didn't like looking at me. It was because she had a really hard time looking at me. She taught me about how to get Lola motivated to, crawl across the room. How could Lola be motivated if she couldn't see me? I had to come up with different ideas to get her engaged and wanting to crawl to me. So it's all these things that Annie really helped me understand. And she came back. I thought she was just going to come in this one time, but she said, I'm part of this organization named VIPS, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to help you. And I mean, we were just beside ourselves because we finally felt like we had some hope. And so she started coming in every month. And then when Lola was 3 years old, she aged out of the program. So birth to three is what VIP serves. And Annie said in on our case conference, she helped with the preschool transition as Lola went into the School for the Blind and the Visually Impaired. And it was just a really life-changing experience. It was something that, teaching me how to teach my daughter really empowered me. It really gave me a lot of confidence in what I was doing, both myself and my husband. So that was, like I said, back in 2012, and she in 2014, started going to the school for the blind and visually impaired, and was thriving there. But because she has, you know, pretty severe challenges, we looked into some alternative schooling options for her. And right now she's in a fourth grade essential skills class in Franklin Township. So she's doing very well. She is, you know, still visually impaired. She will always be visually impaired, but she is thriving. She gets blind and low vision services at school. We're, you know, fighting now to try to get her orientation and mobility because she would really benefit from that. And you know, we're doing good. And, you know, this many years later. So I attribute much of her success and much of the confidence that I got, to Annie and Vips, and thankful that I get to now work for an organization that, you know, now I wake up every day and I get to advocate for other families like my own. And so there's, you know, hundreds of them out there in 2019. Our teachers of blind and low vision and early interventionists served 244 kids. They drove 93,000 miles, you know, provided over 1,500 home visits. And, you know, that's without advertising. That's without, you know, being out trying to find children. These are, you know, children that are born early and being saved by modern medicine. But they're coming with, you know, they have a lot of challenges. And so we're getting referrals as young as 2 weeks old now. And so we're really trying to do everything we can to provide the best services to these families. And so it's amazing that, you know, from what Rebecca started back in 2010, 2011, you know, she and Annie Hughes, the teacher of blind and low vision, they just amazingly got the support of the community, like the Kiwanis, like who you're referencing, Barbara, and, you know, and have really, in Bloomington especially, built a groundswell of support. And now here we are. We just celebrated our 10th birthday this past weekend in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where our home office is. And we, you know, are on a path to serving almost 1,000 kids now, you know, 10 years later. We're well on our way to serving 1,000 kids, and it's incredible. So, yeah, that's a little bit of background about where we're at with, where I'm at with Lola and how she's doing. And I, you know, definitely have more to share about Vips, but does anybody have any questions about any of that?
Well, Meredith, I know that there's a school, a preschool, or a Vips organization in Louisville. And of course, we have one here in Indianapolis. Is there any other states?
So not similar to what they have like in Louisville. I know that they've tried to mirror similar to, like in California, Colorado. They reached out in Ohio to try to do something similar as to what is set up in our Kidstown Preschool in Louisville. And then the School for the Blind, you know, here at age three, kids can start going there. So right now we, you know, thankfully we just constructed our very first center here in Indianapolis. It is a 6,300 square foot space that is totally adapted and accessible for a young child who's blind or visually impaired. It has everything from a sensory room to toddler town to therapy rooms and an adaptive playground, a teletherapy room. You know, it has just so much that, you know, we're so excited to be able to hopefully one day, Barbara, offer a 2-year-old classroom so that we can have, you know, perhaps just a couple of days a week, but just a safe place where families that have children who are blind or visually impaired can enroll their kids and get them in a, you know, kind of preschool program, so that when they get into, you know, as they get into going to the school for the blind or their local public school, private school, you know, they'll have even the playing field, you know, will have helped get these kids up to their highest potential by intervening early and teaching them with the expert teachers.
Mm-hmm. So I guess you have a variety of types of vision impairment, and I don't remember the name of what your daughter's is. I forget what you said, but there's a variety of vision conditions.
Oh, yes. So the most common is cortical visual impairment. That's where the brain takes in, or the eyes take in the images, but the brain can't interpret the images quickly. And so that's, you know, the visual impairment my daughter has, in addition to, she also has comorbidities like optic atrophy, nystagmus. She had strabismus surgery. A lot of the other children that we serve have perhaps ocular albinism, retinopathy of prematurity, coloboma, microphthalmia, anathelmia. So a wide variety of, you know, I would say, you know, you referenced it earlier. It's about 80-85% of the children that we serve also have other disabilities in addition to their visual impairment. So much like my daughter, they have other challenges such as a rare, you know, a genetic disease, or they've had a stroke, or they've, you know, a lot of times the children that have, you know, visual impairments only, you know, they're, were working on, you know, pre-cane skills and cane skills and Braille and large print and all of those amazing things that our teachers introduce so early on in life. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions before Meredith goes on to talk about the programming? Okay.
Well, I was going to say that these people are just simply extraordinary. I mean, not only are they talented, they really care for the children and the families.
So Meredith, the programming that you do in, like, you know, preschool services. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does that look like? What kinds of things? I know that you mentioned how Annie used music, which was perked my ears up because my degree is in music therapy.
Oh, yes.
So are you using music therapy in your program?
So we introduce music. They work on, you know, social skills, cognitive skills, working on cause and effect, colors. I mean, it's such a wide variety of concepts. And that's the beauty of VIPS, is wherever the child is, the teacher will meet them there. So you could have a child like my kiddo that at a year old, we were just trying to get her to look, you know, that was what we were practicing. Whereas, you know, my, another gentleman with another year old child was working on, you know, early literacy and the introducing, you know, different textures and such, because he was going to be a Braille reader someday and has gone on to be an amazing Braille reader. And so, we get most of our referrals from either First Steps. So we're part of the state's early intervention system, which is called First Steps. So we get referrals from them, or Riley Pediatric Ophthalmology, Developmental Pediatricians, Riley Neurology, pediatricians all throughout the state. But once we get that referral, we have a teacher of blind and low vision who immediately gets in contact with the family and then sets up that initial home visit. Now, we've gotten to be so busy that we we're trying to make it so that the referrals that we get are children that actually have gone to the eye doctor and have diagnosed visual impairments. We found that we were getting called into, we're almost as if we were doctors, going in to identify if children were going to be eligible for our services, but it's like, we need to have an eye report. We work in conjunction with the doctors, trying to, really best, help that child get to the next developmental level. So then from there, they start getting, if they qualify, they start getting monthly or biweekly or monthly visits. And this is by a teacher of blind and low vision or an early interventionist who has either the VISA training or some type of master's level vision training. So our people have, we like to make sure that not only do they have the early childhood piece, but they also have that vision component so that they have the deep understanding of how, the vision impacts all of that that kiddo is going to learn. So in addition to the early childhood program, we have our orientation and mobility program, our parent empowerment program, which is much like a support, parent support groups. We teach advocacy. We have preschool transition assistance. This past weekend, we just had our annual family conference and retreat. We have a newsletter that we send out quarterly that is also in large print. We really try to support these families in ways beyond just home visits because we understand that it's, I have a daughter with vision loss and I know that it's overwhelming. I know that it's, we need experts. We need people around us that can help us. And so we try, I try to instill that in all of our providers that, it's, you have to be more than a body in the home. They wear so many different hats. They are social workers and grief counselors and, sisters and, they do so much for the families. It's really so much more than just the home visits.
Yeah. And that is so true. I mean, when you have a child, when you are sort of ushered, if you will, into the, the blindness world, it can be frightening for a family, I'm sure. And I know from my family, they never really had known a blind person when I lost my vision. And so it's a new thing. And so connecting with people who know blindness and how to do blindness and do it successfully is so important. Can you tell us about the event you just referenced this past weekend?
Yeah. So the retreat in Louisville, Kentucky is hopefully it'll be in Indianapolis next year, but at our new center, but it's incredible. We invite all of our current and past families within the past 3 years of come to our Kids Town preschool in Louisville. And this is for Indiana and Kentucky. And on Friday night, they're going over to the Kids Town and having like an ice cream social and getting to, meet everyone. And then they stay in a hotel usually that Friday night. And then on Saturday, we have a whole day of programming for the parents while their kids are being watched by our teachers over at the Kids Town. And so it's an amazing time for the families to kind of let their guard down and, trust that their child is okay with someone beyond themselves. And we always say no news is good news. And so just for the day, they get to just relax and learn and connect. And we had a parent panel of parents that have children with different visual impairments. We had two orientation and mobility specialists that were teaching orientation and mobility and why it's so important. We had a speaker on early literacy, and we did an entire make and take all based on early literacy and the Itsy Bitsy Spider. And, you know, it was just, it was a really nice, nice time. Mm-hmm. We taught about preschool transition and, you know, trying to teach the parents about advocacy and how important it is that they advocate for their children. And it's all free. They don't have to pay for anything. So it's a great opportunity for them to connect with other families.
Who partners with you on that event?
So I mean, I know in the past, like the Kentucky School for the Blind has, but we get grants for it. But other than that, like we've had like, you know, we get different speakers. So we would always be welcome to, you know, have different speakers at the event, but we don't have, you know, a lot of, you know, true partners in the kind of a one that we do on our own.
Okay. Okay. So
but we would love partners.
So connect at all with any, have you connected at all with any, you know, like the American Council of the Blind or whatever in Louisville? I know there's a huge chapter there. So just wondered if you'd heard from them at all.
You know, I don't know off the top of my head.
That's okay. That's okay.
That specific location, but yeah. I know that, I'll have to find out from Diane.
That's okay. No, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. So, so that's interesting. And you have that event the same time every year, right?
We do. Yep. Every year. And then we also offer, so a couple events we have here in Indiana, we have Walking for Dreams, which is, it's a 3K-ish, walk that takes place in Indianapolis every May. We've had, you know, we've had families in the past and, board members and, you know, community supporters and, just, you know, it's wide open. It's free for anyone to come down and walk. So, if anyone's interested, I can share more about that. And then we also have a multi-sensory art exhibition called Revision. And I started this back in 2015 because I, you know, was curious about how art was accessible to people who are blind or visually impaired. I saw art and I often thought, well, what would Lola get out of that if she couldn't touch it or if it didn't have some type of, you know, sensory effect beyond just looking at it? And so I created this art exhibition and we get about 20 to 25 different artists from all over the state and they submit different exhibitions that are tactile or auditory or that has some type of olfactory, you know, component to it. And it's really neat. We invite the students from the School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, their art department, to come out and to participate in it as well. Each of the artist or the pieces have their artist statement in Braille and in large print, and there's QR codes to hear the artist description from the artists themselves and. It's open for 2 months, and so it's all free. It's really neat. So I'll definitely have to keep everyone posted about that when we post that in 2022.
You're talking my language now.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
so when,
Pat.
What? No. Yeah. Hang on, Pat. Just one more question for me, and then I'm going to come to you. So what 2 months of the year do you do that?
Well, in the past, we've done it in March and April, but since we're in our new center, I'm not sure exactly when that's going to take place, but I'm guessing sometime in the late spring.
Okay. So it's not a partnership with IMA?
No, it is not.
Oh,
it is separate.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Pat, what was your question?
Hey, Meredith, it's Pat. Do you want to talk about how the parents are interacting with the mobility?
Oh, yes. In our new building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the mobility part of it.
The mobility.
Oh, the mobility part. Yes. Yeah, I'm actually, I have, I'm looking at a picture of a little girl who's using her cane. We have now two orientation and mobility specialists that go throughout the state that are introducing pre-cane devices and canes to kiddos. And we have some that are starting as young as 9 months old when they're up and starting to cruise a little bit, if you can imagine. So it's incredible to, you know, for these families, if it wasn't for VIPS, they wouldn't have access to a comms before they were 3 years old. And so it's a really critical part of what our programming is. And it's amazing that this year we've hired our very first comms full-time on staff. So
very cool. I can't even imagine a 9 month old with a cane. So yeah, that is fascinating. That is fascinating. So
as Meredith and I discovered, they're fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
How much of the state do you cover?
We serve the entire state. So we say if they find us, we will serve them. We have about 14 contracts. So we have 10, full-time people that work for us, as well as contractors. And they are usually teachers of blind and low vision in the school system. And then they take like a baby or two for us at after their school day is over. And they always say that it's just their most favorite part of their day because they get to work with the babies. And so they are often, you know, we have some all the way in like Michigan City, Terre Haute, Evansville. We are all over the state, with obviously the majority being in central Indiana, but that Northeast region continues to get more and more referrals, and then down in the Evansville area as well.
How many teachers do you have?
So right now we have, I think we have eight full-time and part-time teachers, as well as the contractors in the state. So it's incredible how much I like to think of it as, you know, our little tentacles are just continuing to branch all throughout the state, so that no matter where a child who's blind or visually impaired lives, we are within an hour of service of them.
Wow. Very good. Excellent. So does anybody else have any questions at this point? Okay. So I'm not sure. I don't think we have anyone really on the line that has children who are blind, but certainly people who have grown up as blind people. So we kind of know the ropes, but we were just kind of interested in learning more about what you do to help. And we all know really that when a child has a disability, no matter what the disability is, early intervention is key. It is really key. And I know when I was doing music therapy and just teaching, for example, the movement of right to left and learning to internalize that movement and spatial awareness through music, it helped to build those pre-learning, pre-reading, pre-mathematical skills. We weren't using numbers. We weren't doing math, but we were using, we were developing those pre skills that we need to have in order to read or to do math, to be able to have those spatial awarenesses. So we know that early intervention is very important. So does anybody else have anything to say or comments? Okay. All right. Quiet group tonight. So, anything else you'd like to share with us, Meredith?
I just, you know, would invite anyone to, you know, if you're ever in the Indianapolis area. So we're part, our Family Resource Center is part of a multi-family development that is adapted for individuals or has some adaptations for individuals who are blind or visually impaired. So it's for seniors 55 and better. and low income, and it is it has, I think, 20% of the units specifically are supposed to be set aside for people who are blind or visually impaired. It's called Line Lofts, and it's got things like it's got, you know, different tactile markers in the hallway. It's got the Google Nest in every apartment. It's got a dog washing station for your seeing eye dog. It's got, you know, different clear markers all throughout the outdoor area, a dog washing station. I mean, it just has like a whole lot of different adaptations that, you know, not trying to make it, just trying to make it more so that it's not quite as inaccessible to live independently if you're blind or visually impaired. So that's called Line Lofts. I would just share that because it's a really neat building, and you know, I'm going to be on the Purple Line here soon. And
is it called?
It's called Line Lofts.
L-I-N-E.
Yep.
And then what's the next word?
Lofts.
L-O-F-T-S.
Yes.
Okay. And that is part of VIP's programming, or did you partner with someone for Lion Lofts?
Yes. So we partner with the WITSIT group.
The what group?
The WITSIT group, TWG.
Okay. And what is that?
They are a developer in construction management company.
Okay.
It's an apartment building style.
Yeah. That's what I kind of gathered. Well, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And can your facility be toured, the VIPS facility?
Absolutely. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Anytime.
Okay. And of course, we'd love to know when you do your art exhibit too.
Definitely.
So, yeah. So do you know when you have that scheduled for 2021 or 22?
We don't have the date firm yet because we're still, so at our family resource center, we're just finishing up our toddler town and our adaptive playground. And then after that, we'll be opening hopefully in early spring 2022.
Okay.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. It sounds exciting and you're doing a lot. And so I wanted you to be able to share with our group a little bit. And we appreciate you coming on tonight. And if no one has any other questions or anything for you, I'll let you go, but I'll retain the group if everybody will hang on a minute. And then, and so we appreciate you coming on, Meredith. Thank you.